Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 146, Psalm 146 for our Old Testament reading today. For a number of months, we have been working through a sermon series in the book of Exodus, and we have been on pause the last several weeks. And as we begin a new year, this being the first Sabbath day of 2026, I thought it appropriate for us to make sure that our hope is fixed in the right place and on the right one. And Psalm 146 is a powerful passage of God's holy word, which he intends for you and me to internalize, indeed to take upon our lips and to sing, and to not just sing it once on January the 4th, 2026, but every day this year as we indeed put our hope and trust in the Lord. And so give your attention to the reading of God's holy word, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. What is your response to the hearing of God's word?
Amen.
Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, a new year has dawned upon us, and I ask the question, where will your focus be in 2026? It is certain that many things will compete for your attention this year, for your time, whether it's work or school, whether it is marriage or family obligations, whether it's finances or friends. Many things are competing for your focused attention this new year. Your focus reveals where your expectations and hopes are for this new year. And your hopes actually reveal where your priorities are. And so today, God would tell to you and to me that there is only one focus in 2026 that will not disappoint you. There is only one focus in this new year which will not disappoint you. Only one focus will remain steady and immovable as you face this new year and all that it will bring. Its opportunities, its challenges, its sunny days, as well as its stormy winds. So, we come to Psalm 146 today, and in this word from God, the Lord would train you. The Lord would train you to focus upon Him. That's really the essence of Psalm 146, that the Lord trains you to put your focus upon Him. Well, how does He train you to focus upon Him? Well, we want to first of all look at His call. We want to secondly look at His command. And thirdly, we want to look at His blessing. And so the Lord trains you to focus upon Him, especially in this new year. And so first of all, His call. His call and your commitment. That's what we want to consider first of all in Psalm 146. Verse 1 begins, praise the Lord. Or it actually might be a Hebrew word that you are already aware of. It begins with the Hebrew word, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, y'all. That's how verse 1 begins. It is a call to praise the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is a call to all, to everyone without exception, that all people everywhere at all times and in all places are to give praise unto Jehovah. But note how verse 1 goes from the all, the everyone, the y'all, to a personal call. A personal call to each individual. Better yet, a personal call to me. To me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Here is a call to me personally, to my own soul. And so if the Lord is to train you to focus upon Him today, this is where you must begin. His call to your inmost being to direct all your powers, all your person to the praise and honor of your Maker and, I trust, your Redeemer. And what will your response be? Will your response be that you don't have time to praise the Lord? Will your response be that you have something better to do? Will your response be that there is something else to focus on? Or will your response be verse 2? While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. This is the response which God wants to train you in even today, for every day of 2026 and the rest of your existence, to say, my life has been given to me to do just this, to praise the Lord. Therefore, I am committed to do this, and I will daily commit to do this, to sing praises to my God while I exist. After all, He is my God. That's what verse 2 says. I will sing praises to my God. He is not just a God. He is not just the God, the only true God. He is not just the God of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not just God of my father. He is not just our God, but He is my God. This speaks of something personal. He is my God personally, intimately, relationally. And I own Him as such because He has owned me as His. You see, as the Lord trains you to focus upon Him, His call to praise Him calls forth a response of commitment to do just that. Because you have come to see that you do not belong to yourself, but that you belong to your faithful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has purchased you with His precious blood. I belong to Him, and by covenant, He has given Himself to me by the very blood of the covenant. He has given Himself to me. And this is why I can call Him my God. He has given Himself to me. Therefore, I will praise Him as long as I exist in this life and in the next. In 2026, in every day that He gives to me. But what does it mean to praise Him? What does it mean to praise the Lord? Well, it means to acknowledge who He is, first of all, to acknowledge that He alone is God and there is no other, that He is the one who has made me and He is the one who has rescued me from my sin and misery. I acknowledge who He is and I acknowledge what He has done, my Creator and my Savior. And I acknowledge what He promises yet to do. He is the one who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who satisfies my soul with good. This is the one who deserves my praise. And so I acknowledge who he is. I acknowledge what he has done. I acknowledge what he promises yet to do to safely bring me to heaven itself. But I don't only acknowledge who he is, what he has done, and what he promises yet to do. I conclude that he is worthy. Worthy of what? Worthy of my admiration. Worthy of my adoration. Worthy of all honor and blessing. Worthy of my full belief and my full obedience. Worthy of my trust. Worthy of my loyalty. And so I acknowledge who he is, what he has done, what he promises yet to do. I conclude that he is worthy, and I sing. I sing of him, and I sing to him. Why sing? Why sing? Well, to sing is to stir up your affections, to lift up your emotions, to stir and raise your excitement. You can imagine a man and a woman. They're engaged. They are preparing to get married. And the husband, who is your friend, comes to you and he says this as he is waiting in anticipation for the wedding day. That is the husband-to-be. And he says to you, "You know what? She makes my heart sing." We understand that. You grasp that. Well, the question is, does the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make your heart sing? That's the question. Raising your affection, stirring your excitement, so that you cannot but help burst forth into praise. It was a faithful preacher of old who said this, "We have but one soul, and if it's saved from eternal wrath, it is bound to praise its Savior. Come heart, come mind, come thought, come my whole being, my soul, my all, be all aflame with joyful adoration." And so today, the Lord would train you to focus upon him in this new year by his call and your response of commitment. Take up this call with a daily commitment. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Maybe this practically means you need to memorize verse 2. You need to hide it in your heart. And every morning, you need to repeat it out loud to the Lord as your commitment is renewed and your focus is fixed upon him. Secondly, the Lord trains you to focus upon him. How? By his commandment. His commandment and your vigilance. His commandment and your vigilance. We read this in verse 3 and verse 4. "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, in that very day his plans perish." Here is the command of God to you and to me, which enables us to fix our focus upon him. It's a command of prohibition. Not prohibition like in the 1930s. No, a prohibition. What is prohibited in verse 3? Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man. Literally, nor in a son of Adam. This is the command which God wants you to vigilantly obey. If you are to be focused upon him exclusively. There is a clear prohibition. Do not put your trust in anyone besides me. Now, why would God have to give this command? Why would he give this prohibition? Well, he gives this command and this prohibition because it is a temptation for you, for me, to put our trust in all the wrong places. Instead of our exclusive trust in him, we put our confidence, our hope, and our belief and our trust in other people. And God says, you are going to be tempted in 2026 to put your trust in ones beside the Lord. People, especially powerful people, influential people, persuasive people, people of position, people with resources. God says it is going to be a temptation to you to put your trust in these people in your life. As one has said, we are prone to depend upon the great ones on earth and to forget the great one above. It's so true, isn't it? Prone to depend upon the great ones on earth and to forget the great one above. We think, surely this one can help me. This one can exalt me. This one can satisfy me. This one can provide for me. This one can profit me. This one will make me happy. This one will rescue me. This one has power to give me what I need. And these people are out there. They're all around you. Now, sometimes it's very clear that they are a part of the darkness which is trying to lead you away from the Lord. You can think about it perhaps in this way. There's an individual who will take a bribe in order to help you to acquire a position which doesn't rightly belong to you. Here's an inside trader who is trying to sell you information in order for you to get something for nothing. Here's a harlot who is trying to allure your lusts, to find your satisfaction in your sexuality, which God has given to you to be enjoyed within the context of a lifelong marriage, but not to find satisfaction in at the expense of the Lord. Like I said, sometimes these people in our lives are obviously ones who are a part of the darkness trying to allure you away from Jesus Christ, the faithful bridegroom. The drug dealer who says, have I got what you need to take away the pain, to dull the memory, so that you don't have to think upon the things which just oppress you. But sometimes these people whom we are tempted to put our trust in, sometimes these people are ones who on the surface are not a part of the darkness. We have the uncanny ability to turn that which is good into an idol. What do I mean? Well, you can look to your earthly father to provide for you at the expense of trusting in the Lord. You can look to your husband to satisfy you at the expense of being satisfied in the Lord. You can look at your BFF, your best friend forever, and listen to her and hang on her every word while you ignore the Word of God. You can look to your coach or your team captain or your son or your daughter and try to find fulfillment in him or her. You can look to your pastor and put your trust in him instead of trusting in the Lord. You can look to your doctor or your specialist or your financial advisor. And you can look at all these people and say, well, these people aren't nefarious and evil and a part of the darkness. Ah, but we have the uncanny ability to turn that which is good and a gift from God into an idol, wherein we turn away from the Lord, and our focus is not upon Him. It's a temptation which will be with you throughout 2026. It's a temptation which will be with you in every season of your life. When you're young, the peer pressure, your best friend, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. When you're old, the health guru or the financial guru. When you're in between, there's a temptation to trust, to hang your hopes of ultimate happiness on a son of Adam. And God says, don't do it. You are setting yourself up for terrible disappointment. Dreadful despair. You will be disappointed. Why? Because the one whom you are focused on, putting your trust in, is a son or daughter of Adam. And I want to tell you, the apple hasn't fallen too far from the tree. God says, do not put your trust in anyone except me, because in a son of Adam there is no ultimate help, no salvation which belongs to him. He cannot provide ultimately for himself, and therefore he cannot provide for you. Every son and daughter of Adam is mortal, dying, unable to preserve himself or herself, unable to preserve you. What are we told in verse 4? His spirit, his breath departs. He returns to his earth, to the Adamah. A son of Adam returns to the Adamah. That's what it is in the Hebrew. And when he dies, his plans perish with him. They evaporate like a fleeting breath. It's kind of like what Jesus said in the Gospels. The blind looks to be led by the blind. And what happens to both of them? They both fall in the ditch. And so God says, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of Adam in whom there is no help. Literally, no salvation. That's what the word in Hebrew means. There's no rescue. From the greatest of enemies, death itself and the second death. Your ultimate trust must only be placed in the one who can help in the face of the ultimate danger, the danger of death and the second death, and no mere man can be your trust, your helper in this. It was one of the church fathers, Augustine, in the early 5th century, who said the following: in only one son of man is there salvation, and in him, not because he is a son of man, but because he is also the son of God. Yeah. There's wisdom. True wisdom indeed. Every son of man who is not the son of God, when his last breath leaves his mouth, all of his plans perish. But interestingly enough, not the son of man who is the son of God. When he gave up his last breath, his eternal plans were accomplished. You remember? On the cross, it is finished. He's the one in whom you must trust and whom you must focus on. And so the Lord today focuses you upon himself. We hear his call. Do we respond with commitment to praise him? We hear his command. Do we respond with vigilance to search our own hearts, to see where we have made idols out of those around us, and repent and turn back and lean wholly upon the Son of God who has become the Son of Man to save us forever? Lastly, the Lord trains you to focus upon him in this new year as we consider his blessing and your pursuit. His blessing. Verse 5, we read, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy. Blessed. It's the same word which the Psalter begins with. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. And so the Psalter begins in Psalm 1 with blessed. And here we come almost to the end of the Psalter, Psalm 146, and we come to the last pronouncement of blessing in the Psalter. Blessed. Happy is the man who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. Here is where your confidence and trust must be. Here is the one who gets life right. That's really what this word is all about. Happy, blessed. It's speaking about the one who gets life right and therefore enjoys what God gives. Blessed and happy is the one who has the God of Jacob for his help. Here is hope that will never collapse because it rests on the God who never falters and never fails. God pronounces blessing on those who know him to be their help, who believe him to be their help, who trust in him to be their help. God pronounces blessing on those who know him to be their hope, who believe him to be their hope, who trust in him to be their hope. God pronounces blessing on those who confidently expect and actively look to him to be their help and their hope. Now, it's true. God uses means. He may use your boss. He may use your best friend. He may use your spouse. He may use your parent. He may use your fellow church member. But that doesn't mean you trust in your boss. That doesn't mean you trust in your spouse. That doesn't mean you trust in your fellow church member. Your trust, your hope, is in the Lord, who is a very present help in time of need. He is your hope. He is your help. And this hope will not disappoint. It's not wishful thinking, like, I sure hope it's going to be 72 degrees and sunny in Merrimack tomorrow. That's called wishful thinking, right? Not going to happen. But this is a rock-solid hope, a hope which is rooted in four things as we come to a close. First of all, it's rooted in what God has done. Verse 6, who is the one in whom your hope is and whom your help comes from? The one who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is them. Look at what the Lord has done. He has made everything. By the word of his power, in the space of 6 days, and all very good. He is almighty, and he engages his almighty power for the good of you who are putting your hope in him. And so this hope is rooted in, first of all, what God has done. It's rooted, secondly, in who God is. We see this also in verse 6. Who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Who does what? Who keeps truth forever. This is who God is. He is the truthful, faithful God whose word never fails. The Lord is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should deceive. He is the God of truth. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ, equal with the Father and equal with the Holy Spirit, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. You see, a hope which is rooted in what God has done and who God is will not fail. He is the one who keeps truth forever. He's trustworthy, and his word will never fall to the ground. But there's a third ground upon which true hope is rooted. What God has done, who God is and what God promises to be for those who hope in Him. What does God promise to be for those who hope in Him? Well, you can read of it in verses 7, 8, and 9. He promises to be the one who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, who gives freedom to the prisoners, who opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down, loves the righteous, watches over the stranger, relieves the fatherless and widow, but turns the way of the wicked upside down. God is the God of Jacob, the God of the covenant, the God of wrestling prayer, the God of the tribe believer. The triune God is both great and He is good. Listen to a number of these quotes from fellow brothers and sisters over the span of church history. Satan tempts us to distrust, and we are so easily thrown into trembling and turmoil. But here is the solution: to focus on that which would swallow up all our fears, God, who uses His power with the promise of good to His people. Therefore, do not faint under your troubles. God will disperse your gloom. He will open your eyes. He will give courage to you who are weary and groaning under your burdens. Another faithful preacher put it this way: don't trust in man. Trust in God alone, in His power, His all-sufficiency, His faithfulness, His justice, His provision, His deliverance, His enlightenment, His love, His unfailing friendship, and His unfailing judgment of the wicked. Depend upon the Lord, another said. Encourage yourself in Him. Christ is both our Redeemer and our Maker. He is the faithful witness, the undertaker for the oppressed, the provider for the hungry, the author of all liberty, the giver of sight to the blind. He lifts up the downcast, loves the righteous, cares for the weak, and takes vengeance on the wicked. The Messiah is head over all things for His church. The one who has made the created and moral order will uphold that order and do so for His glory and for the good of His people. Oh, how blessed a thing it is to know that God is our present help and our eternal hope. He is the friend of the downtrodden, the avenger of the persecuted, the champion of the helpless. He consoles the bereaved, cheers the defeated, solaces the despondent, and comforts the despairing. This is your hope. This is your God. And a hope that is built upon what God has done, who God is, and what God promises to be for you who hope in Him, this hope will not fail. But there's one more aspect to the foundation of this hope. Not only what God has done in creating all things and showing His power, not only in who God is and who He promises to be for His people who hope in Him, but what God is doing, fourthly, and what He will do forever. What is He doing right now? Is He sitting up in heaven wringing His hands? Oh, my poor people, I wish I could intervene and help them. I don't know what to do. Everything's out of control. I guess the devil is just having his way. It must be his day. Is this the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is this the risen, ascended, exalted Lord Jesus Christ? Is this the everlasting Spirit? Well, read verse 10. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Here is the fourth component of the foundation of true hope. The Lord shall reign forever. He's reigning right now. He's reigning over the calendar. He's reigning over 2026. He's reigning over your job situation, your family situation. He's reigning over every situation in your life. The Lord shall reign forever. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has a name which is exalted above every name in this age and in the next. And he rules over all for his church. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 1. For his church. He is for you, not against you, if you are trusting in him today. And the Lord would focus you upon himself. And so is God your help and hope in Jesus Christ? Then happy are you. Happy are you. You will not be disappointed. Can you sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness"? Can you sing that today? If your hope is anywhere else, it is going to fail. It is going to falter. But we go into 2026, into all that sunny days and all that stormy days, and we know that the Lord rules. And so the Lord today trained you to focus upon him. Why do I say he trained you to focus upon him? Well, after all, Psalm 146 is a song. It's a song that's meant to be sung. Popular songs are easily memorized. We sing them with gusto. What about Psalm 146? I said at the beginning, it's not meant to just be sung once. How do I know that? How does the psalm end? It ends with the exact same word it began. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we come to a close of Psalm 146 only to start it all over again. It's a circle. It's a song that's meant to be sung over and over and over again. It's a song which is meant to be internalized, to be hidden in your heart, to be shouted from the mountaintops, to be sung in the morning and in the evening. It is a song of praise to your God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has loved you with an everlasting love. It's a song that God puts on your lips to sing over and over, that you would be trained to put your focus on him. Not just for 2026, but for all your life and for all eternity. Amen. Let us pray together. Our gracious Father in heaven, we ask now that we would not easily forget what we have heard, but that as the seed of your word has been scattered, it would take root in our hearts and it would grow to produce much fruit. Compassionate Father, you know the trials and the difficulties which your people here individually face. And some of them are immense. We want hope and courage as we go into a new year. We do not want to be disappointed and downcast. We want to have confidence in knowing that you are for us and not against us, and that you are with us in the midst of the fiery furnace. Lord, if there are ones here today who are struggling, who are cast down and weary, lift them up by your grace and mercy. And if there are ones, O Lord, who have their hope in all the wrong places, direct their hearts unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only sure hope. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.